Barnard, Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff Andre Henderson. In this Social Security disability claim, there's a somewhat unusual fact-finding in that the administrative law judge found Mr. Henderson completely credible, but yet at the same time found him not disabled. And although at times those two findings might be consistent and compatible, in this case they are not. Mr. Henderson testified that he suffered from debilitating headaches, that they occurred one day every week or every other week. They lasted for one day or 2 days, that when he got them he could do nothing but lie down and be as quiet as possible. The vocational expert testified that 2 days' absences are tolerated in the competitive workplace and no more. Based on Mr. Henderson's testimony alone of his headaches, he would have been unable to sustain any work activity, and yet the ALJ did not explain how he found him credible, but yet not disabled based on his testimony concerning his headaches.
Mr. Schultz, should we look at this as a case where Mr. Henderson had some 6-plus years of work experience while he had these various medical problems, or is something different? The commissioner's brief stresses over and over again that the ALJ was entitled to look at his actual record, his actual experience.
This case is not, really isn't governed by that principle, because there's no evidence that Mr. Henderson suffered from the same limitations while he was working as a school bus driver.
Okay, so is your principal argument that the evidence shows that his condition worsened, or are you also arguing, or principally or secondarily, that the fact that he didn't keep these jobs for long periods of time, it actually wasn't one job that he had for the 6-plus years, it was three.
That's correct.
Is there any weight we ought to place on that?
Yes, and especially because the ALJ in this case did not make a just find that because Mr. Henderson worked for 6 years as a bus driver, therefore he's not disabled because of his impairment. The ALJ actually went through and analyzed medical evidence, and the only opinions that we have from mental health practitioners, psychologists, and psychiatrists all indicate that Mr. Henderson is significantly limited, especially for someone who'd be expected to drive for a living, and especially a school bus. The ALJ adopts that. He agreed with the opinion of Dr. Kuster, who is a psychiatrist by the state agency. And that doctor said that Mr. Henderson should not work with the public, and that he had moderate limitations in the ability to be aware of normal hazards and take appropriate precautions, that he should not operate hazardous machinery. Well, again, once the ALJ agreed with Dr. Kuster's assessment, he then had to deal with the fact that Mr. Henderson had those limitations, and the ALJ should have explained why a person with those limitations could drive a school bus.
Is there any hint in this record that he somehow was malingering or something when he failed the commercial driver's license test in 1998?
No, there's no hint of that at
all. Is there any way you can drive a school bus without such a license?
No, there is not. And that the ALJ didn't grapple with that question of how he could find that Mr. Henderson could return to his past work as a school bus driver when he couldn't pass the test to be a school bus driver. And the psychologist noted that Mr. Henderson has a learning disability and that he functions in the mildly mentally retarded range in reading and spelling and in math. And so there's no evidence that he has a full-scale IQ of only 73, which is borderline intelligence, very close, low end of borderline, close to mentally retarded. So there's no evidence that Mr. Henderson was faking. I think the question that's left open on the record is how he was able to pass the test the first time, but there's no evidence that he was capable of passing that test as of the date of...
We have an ongoing investigation as to how people got licenses in anything.
That's true. I mean, there's no evidence on that question in this case as to how Mr. Henderson actually got the license initially. But as of the time of the ALJ's hearing, all of the mental health experts who provided an opinion agreed that he was very limited and that his limitations really would preclude driving a school bus. It was, and there's a question of whether he was safely driving the school bus or driving as a medical courier while he was doing it, or whether he and society just got lucky that he didn't get in an accident or wasn't put in a position where he had to use the judgment that unfortunately he doesn't possess.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Ms. Miskin?
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Mara Miskin and I represent the Commissioner of Social Security in this matter. Before I address some of the points that Mr. Henderson's counsel argued before this Court today, I'd like to address the main points of our case.
Did I understand, however, that there was a finding that he could drive a school bus?
That's correct. That his
get a license?
Well, there's no evidence in the record of why he couldn't get a license.
Well, there's many differences. There's no record. He can't get a license. That's what the record shows. He applied. He couldn't get it.
Well, at step four.
I mean, there's nothing in the record to show why a number of people who flunked the bar flunked it, but you wouldn't have them practicing law in that predicament, would you?
Well, Your Honor, what I would argue is that in our step four analysis of whether an individual can perform their past relevant work, that's, we look to the actual functional demands of what that person
Well, the first did. Functional demand is to be able to pass a license test to get the license to drive the bus.
Even assuming, Your Honor, that I accept your argument.
Well, you don't have to accept that.
Let's say for argument's purpose, you're correct. He can't.
No. That's what you're saying.
Not arguable. If he couldn't pass the test, if you have to have a commercial driver's license to pass to drive a bus, school bus, and if he can't pass it because of his mental problems, his illiteracy, he's disabled.
Your Honor, there's no evidence in the record but for speculation that he couldn't pass the test.
Oh, no, that's not speculation.
Failed it. That's why he got
Let me point out to the court, and his IQ has remained constant from 1987
But he can't read, right?
But
how can you pass the test if you can't read?
Your Honor, he read enough to pass it the first time in 1993.
That's what we don't have in the record. It's how he passed it the first time.
Right, we don't understand, but I think it's reasonable.
Shock to me all the way around. Would you like him driving your children, by the way, just academically?
Well, it looks like he was able to do it successfully. I don't have children.
Well, what if you had children? Would you like him driving?
He did the job successfully for 6.5 years. I would probably drive my kid. I don't have kids, so I'd probably drive it myself. But I don't think I'd have anyone drive my kids, but I'm just that way.
But look, I mean, that's why I asked the question I asked earlier. He presented evidence that his commercial driver's license expired in 1998 and he was unable to pass the written test to renew it. And there certainly is no reason to believe on this record that he wanted to be fired from the job that he had, although it did result in that. The commissioner seems to have presented no evidence to rebut his evidence that this was a bona fide failure, if you will, that the commissioner has come forth with no evidence of malingering or just throwing the test for some reason. And in fact, he later gets another job that he manages to get with his regular driver's license, but he has satisfied his burden of putting evidence in the record that would allow a finding that he doesn't have the sine qua non of being a commercial bus driver, which is to have the license.
As I started to say,
I know about burdens of proof, but the commissioner, when there's evidence in the record that would support a finding that he's not qualified to do his prior work, can't just say, well, you have the burden of proof. He's done something with it.
The question when we're doing a step four analysis is whether the claimant, the individual, can do the functional demands of the past work.
But he can't. If he can't get the job because of the lack of the license,
that's not what the agency looks at.
The agency needs to look at, can he do his past work?
I'd like to say that, again, there's no evidence that he didn't pass that exam because of a mental impairment.
It doesn't matter. He showed that he couldn't pass the exam. There's certainly no evidence that he was on purpose trying to fail the exam.
But he still had a state driver's license. He was still driving a car.
I assure you, driving a car and driving a bus, I've actually unfortunately driven a truck once, and it's a really different proposition to do the one and the other.
I can't explain why he didn't pass the CBL exam. He did it for 6.5 years. He passed the exam in 93. Like I said, plaintiff concedes in his brief to the district court that his IQ was constant, so we can't blame him on his IQ, and I have no idea.
Maybe they made the test higher. I mean, the point is,
it's speculation. But what I would say, what I was starting to indicate was that let's argue for argument's sake that, okay, he can't go back to his bus driver job. There's still another job he can do, and then he testified he still would be doing if a background check didn't reveal.
How did he know that? I mean, I've found it astonishing that you put such weight on that. He thinks that they wouldn't have fired him for any reason whatsoever between now and...
That's speculation. He was doing...
His statement, I would still be doing it, is pure speculation.
Well, he has to... It's his burden to prove that he cannot return to his past relevant work. He's telling the ALJ, I would still be at that job, but for a criminal background check indicating that I had a past theft conviction. And what I submit to the court is, he worked for a year after the alleged onset date. He worked at the medical specimen courier for McNeil Hospital sometime between January and June of 99. He doesn't remember when, but it's clear he actually worked after his alleged onset date. And Mr. Henderson has not presented any evidence that after the time he was fired due to the background check, there was any intervening cause that now somehow rendered him disabled, that there was some medical reason he was no longer able to return to that job.
Well, Mr. Schultz has mentioned that these headaches that make him unable to work for days at a time.
Well, Mr. Schultz has focused on one isolated comment in a record, 250-60-page record. The ALJ is not required nor allowed to base a disability finding based on one isolated comment. That what Mr. Schultz said was referring to Mr. Henderson's testimony that he would have headaches that would require him to lay down and that the headaches would last for 2 days. But he also testified that aspirin would make his headaches go away, one, and then two, if they were severe. And he also testifies, as we've focused on, he'd still be working, and that he cannot base, the ALJ is not required or allowed to base a disability finding based on one statement.
I don't know if that's true.
ALJs
do that all the time. ALJs are entitled to decide whose testimony they want to believe, what they think is credible. If it's an important statement, then the ALJ is entirely entitled to.
His bare allegation, he cannot base his disability finding based on his bare allegation that I have to lay down for 2 days because of headaches. He never said that to any doctor. He didn't have any treatment for headaches.
But this isn't discussed in the ALJ's opinion, is it?
It's not. It's not. But when I think that we can...
Also, this courier job, wasn't this a part-time job?
He did it enough that it constituted substantial gainful activity, and it doesn't matter that it was part-time work. It still constitutes substantial gainful activity. And I'd like to direct this court to another factor. Mr. Henderson was found disabled in 1987 due to borderline intellectual functioning. Despite that finding, he still passed the CDL. He still worked for 6.5 years, including the courier job.
But you know, we have cases which say the fact that a person works doesn't necessarily mean he's not disabled, because he may have an indulgent, or in this case perhaps careless employer, or he may be exerting himself, you know, beyond his actual abilities, and eventually he runs out of steam.
I am familiar with the Wilder case that you're referring to, but I don't think that applies here. There's no indication that he was overexerting himself, and it would be hard for me to believe that a company that employs a bus driver would allow them to overexert themselves, or that it would not be found out if they...
Well, they hire bus drivers that lose kids, that leave them on the bus, that wander off down long roads. I wouldn't give the credit to the people hiring school bus drivers think that their IQ might match his, but
well, I would really like to give the benefit of the doubt to people who employ
I would too, except my children were on the bus, you know, and my doubts.
Your Honor, in the Wilder
what
case...
What school district was he working for?
I know this was in the... he worked in... Well, I know the career job was at McNeil.
Maybe your opponent can tell you where he works. Where do you work?
You know what school district?
In Chicago?
I believe it was the Chicagoland area because McNeil Hospital, the career job was in Chicagoland. It was...
Makes you nervous, doesn't it?
Something in Robinson. I'm sorry?
I said makes you nervous, doesn't it?
No, because he... What?
Or leave a few kids in the corner here and there.
You'll drive your kids to school. I already know the answer to that.
If you have no further questions, I'd like to ask for affirmance on the babies as we've talked about.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Thank you. Mr. Schultz, how much time do you have? 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
4.
In terms of the medical... driving as a medical courier, Ms. Miskin indicated that at step 4, the ALJ is required to look to the functional demands of past work, and the ALJ did not do that in his decision. He doesn't discuss what the actual functional demands were of Mr. Henderson's past work. This court on many occasions has indicated that an ALJ must do that. And in the Prince case, this court said something to the effect that until the Social Security Administration chooses to revoke Social Security Ruling 82-62, ALJs will be required to follow the requirements of that ruling. That one of those requirements is that an ALJ's decision delineates the physical and mental demands of past work.
Do we know, for example, that a job as a medical courier can be done by an illiterate person? Or is there some risk that, you know, a kidney about to be transplanted mixed up with a liver?
Well, that, I believe that
mind boggles.
That's one of the big difficulties with the ALJ's decision here is that...
Well, he can't be completely illiterate. He must be able to read street signs.
He doesn't say that he could.
I don't know how you could drive without being able to read street signs.
He may well be able to. I don't know that. He did say he read comic books when he read, so he probably had some level of of reading, although it was a very low level. The other thing is there is evidence of worsening of his condition, which the ALJ didn't discuss. The testimony was that his shortness of breath had become worse, and that he was becoming short on minor exertion. And Dr. Viale noted that the claimant had rapid breathing on minor exertion, and that was during a consultative medical exam, so there's not a lot of exertion going on, and yet the plaintiff was short of breath.
Is his blood pressure controlled?
No, his blood pressure was way out of control. There are 6-7 readings in the record, all of them. There was one 158 over 96. That was the lowest reading. Most of them were 180 over 110 at the consultative evaluation. It was 200 over 140, I believe, was advised to go see the doctor.
Yeah, obesity and blood pressure and history of heart disease, probably we shouldn't be driving anything.
No, that's
shouldn't even walk.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Schultz and Ms. Simpson. Next case for argument is Singh versus